Morning, everyone. It's good to see you this morning. It's also especially good to see two friends of ours are here visiting today, Matt and Emily. If I can take a moment to introduce them. We started ALC here at Malvern Bible Chapel, our school, many years ago, 1989, and in our first class of eight students, Emily was one of our first eight students here. Graduated from our school in 2001. And 2 years ago this week, I had the privilege of officiating their wedding. So happy anniversary, a couple days early. So that last hymn we sung is especially meaningful to me. I remember singing it for the first time in a testimony meeting where a gentleman stood up and sharing something going on in his life that was deeply, deeply troubling, not being able to see light ahead of him, just a very, very dark path. And he actually sang that song a cappella himself, as a solo, I should say. Very moving. So it has some fond memories for me. I'm searching for my notes here, so give me a second. I know I put them in here somewhere. At least I thought I did. Okay, well, we're going to go without notes today, perhaps. Oh, here we go. All right, let's pray together, and then we'll get started here. Our Father, we thank you so much for this time that we can gather together in worship. And it's really, Lord, out of this time of worship that our faith is strengthened. And so we don't wait to feel strong in our faith to come to you. But, Lord, as we do gather, you, through your Spirit, move in us to strengthen our faith. And so we thank you for that. And this morning, Lord, as we deal with this topic of suffering and evil and these bigger topics of things that have gone wrong in the world and how we reconcile that with who you are, give us wisdom, Lord. And so we pray your presence here, guiding our thoughts, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This past year, I had led my high school students in a study of this book, Night, by Elie Wiesel. Elie Wiesel is a Holocaust survivor, and the book was written really as an autobiographical account of his experiences as a Holocaust victim. And perhaps it was written even more so as an autobiographical account of the faith struggle that wrestled with the question of evil and suffering and that of a good, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God. In one of the most famous passages of the book, Elie states the following, quote, "Never shall I forget that nocturnal silence which deprived me for all eternity of the desire to live." And it's that idea of God's apparent silence in the face of this unimaginable evil that he finds most troubling. In one of the scenes in the book where the Gestapo had gathered and had hanged a young boy, a man in the crowd that had gathered to watch asked this, "Where is God?" And Elie writes that the only response was, quote, "total silence throughout the camp." And so this apparent silence of God in the face of suffering is not really unique to the modern world. In fact, in the Hellenistic world, silence was the symbol of the highest deity. In fact, there is even a recorded prayer to the god Silence. In a papyrus that has come down to us, some writing in what was called the Great Persian Magical Papyrus, it depicts a mystic who is traveling toward heaven, and he is being assaulted, threatened by hostile gods. And so he prays to this god Silence, and he says this, "Silence, silence, silence, eternal, immortal God, take me under thy wings, O Silence." Such words remind us, I think, of Paul Simon's famous song from the 1960s, The Sounds of Silence, with its lyrics depicting this cold, mechanistic world in which there is no personal voice. But this idea of the apparent silence of God in the face of suffering is even present in the scriptures. As we look at Psalm 22, for example, the opening verses, we read this. The psalmist writes, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out day by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. And again in Psalm 44 and in verses 23 and following, awake, Lord, why do you sleep? Rouse yourself, do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression? And so reconciling this matter of suffering with the existence of an all-knowing and all-loving, all-powerful God has really daunted human existence ever since that of Genesis chapter 3. And the title of the message that we're going to watch today is God the Source of My Suffering? That's the title of the message given by Dr. Robbie Zacharias that we're going to watch in just a moment. And his basic premise is this, that every religion, every worldview must have a satisfactory answer to that question of the presence of evil and suffering. In other words, for a worldview to be livable, it must deal honestly and authentically, genuinely with that question. And so he's going to begin by explaining how both the atheistic skeptic and even the religious pantheist cannot sustain their positions on this universal human experience of suffering. In other words, he's going to show in a very clear way why those worldviews are not livable. He's going to conclude by looking at the Christian worldview, the Christian understanding, the biblical view. And in the process of doing so, he makes a very important statement. He says that there is even a more fundamental question that we need to deal with other than just simply the matter of pain and suffering. See if you can catch what he says. Okay. Well, as we bring this to a close, a couple of thoughts. Robbie mentioned quite a few times the material in his book. Highly recommend his book, Jesus Among Other Gods. He deals with the material in much more depth, and it's an excellent read, edifying in the extreme. But let me close with just a final comment and illustration. I think that living in a fallen, abnormal world as we do ever since the fall of Genesis chapter 3, it's really simply a given that everyone is going to suffer at some point in time. It's part of the human experience that is very natural to this very abnormal world in which we live. And so therefore, everybody at some point in time is going to have to reconcile that question of evil, suffering, and all that that entails with the fact of an all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving God. And so my comment is simply this, just to be aware of those people who are in your life, especially those who have not yet met Christ, where this matter of evil and suffering is playing itself out. When our youngest daughter, Naomi, was working at the local bank just before she got married, one of her co-workers had singled her out as the target for her anger and her bitterness. And at first, Naomi was very put out by it. She didn't understand why it was that she was the brunt for this young girl's anger and bitterness and her meanness. But she hung in there trying to build a relationship with this young woman. And so after several months of this relentless treatment, Naomi received a call one Saturday morning. It was Christina, this girl that she worked with. And through tears and through a trembling voice, Christina asked if she could come over and spend the afternoon with Naomi and talk with her. And so she came over to our house that afternoon, spent several hours there spilling out the reasons for her anger and her bitterness. Years of living in abusive relationships from her parents and then through a series of boyfriends, trying to cope with that abusiveness through alcohol and through drugs, and of course finding those things lacking. And so she told Naomi that she had seen something different in her and was actually putting her to the test. She freely admitted this. She wanted to see whether there was something really there that was genuine and something authentic. And so to make a long story short, Christina eventually gave her life to Christ. And Naomi had the joy of being there at her baptism, as well as at her wedding some years later. And she is now married to a fine young Christian man. And so who is it that is in your life that is experiencing this matter of suffering and pain and evil in some way, shape, or form? And so the comment is, in the charge really, is to just to draw alongside that person and point the way to the one who will eventually take away all of that pain and suffering as this world is remade and we move away from that whole matter of pain and suffering. It is no longer part of our reality. He is the one who, in the meanwhile, gives that sustaining grace and peace and power to cope. And so that question of the matter of pain and suffering and evil in the world and reconciling itself with a God, we realize that through the incarnation, Jesus himself provides the answer. And so the Christian faith then really is the only sustainable, livable worldview, if you will, as it relates to the reality that we all live with and exist. So I hope you don't mind ending a few minutes early. We're going to pray and close up. Father, we thank you for just the revelation that you have given us in your word. We thank you for the revelation that you have given us in your Son and how through him all pain and suffering will eventually be put to death completely. We thank you for how he inaugurated those things on the cross and how he is in the process of making all things new. We thank you for these realities and we take our hope and we put our faith in them. And so we pray that you will help us and give us wisdom as we deal with fellow travelers who are experiencing pain and suffering in some way, shape, or form. Lord, help us to have the wisdom to point them to you and to your Son. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.